Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 26. I'm Rob Wright, editor of Search Security, and I'm here with my site editor, Peter Loschen. Peter, welcome.
Hi, Rob.
I know that you're, and probably the listeners know that you're a little under the weather, so I'm going to keep that in mind as we roll through today's recording, but thank you for being here.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm sure. No, you're feeling like I felt last month when I was in here trying to croak my way through a couple podcasts, but I appreciate you toughing it out because we've got an interesting, as usual, interesting issue to talk about today. A little flap, a little controversy, a little drama, I guess, between some big guns in the tech world, Microsoft, Google, and Adobe over a couple of serious zero-day vulnerabilities that have been disclosed, and one in particular with Microsoft Windows that is causing a bit of drama. And I'll do the honors of recapping sort of what's gone down and what's kind of created all this drama, because I know, Peter, you're a little under the weather. So basically what happened was Google came out on Monday, on Halloween, trick or treat, with a report that they had discovered some zero-day vulnerabilities that had been previously undisclosed that affected Adobe, the Adobe Flash Player, and Windows. And they discovered these the previous Friday. Not the previous Friday, but a week earlier, October 21st. Yes. And they had reported the vulnerabilities to Adobe and Microsoft, and in an odd twist, I guess. Maybe not an odd twist. I shouldn't bash Adobe. I regularly bash Adobe for pushing out buggy software and stuff that probably should have been reviewed before it went out. But I think most people in the industry probably agree that their response, that their operation to correct the flaws that they should have caught before the software was released is pretty good. They get on 0 days and serious flaws and issues pretty quickly. Their response is generally considered to be very good. I think it might have been a year or two ago that I think it was Intel. Intel Security did a report on responses to things like 0 days and such, and they rated Adobe as being one of the best. They were informed on October 21st by Google. Adobe updated their Flash software on October 26th to address the issue. Now, however, on Halloween, when Google disclosed these vulnerabilities to the public, Microsoft had not patched this Windows vulnerability. And they still, at the time of this recording, Friday, November 4th, have still not patched this vulnerability. And this has created a bit of drama. Some very outspoken experts in the security field have taken Microsoft to task over their response to this zero-day finding. And it's led to some interesting questions, I think, about how we do disclosure, but more importantly, how companies should respond to these types of disclosures and findings, and what, I guess, the problems that are created when the two parties, whoever is doing the disclosing and the vendor responsible for the software, haggle over these things, haggle over the findings, and have a back and forth. Well, I guess it's not really a back and forth with Google, because they said what they said, and that's been it. But Microsoft has challenged sort of the characterization of the findings and what to do about them. And I gotta say, I don't think it's been a great look for the security industry, and we can sort of delve into why later. But Peter, what was your response to this in reading about the story and then writing the story? Go ahead.
Okay, so we talk about, when we talk about vulnerability disclosure, So I just learned this recently, the people talk about responsible disclosure, and then one of the experts that we've quoted in the past recently, Ivan Arce.
Yeah,
because he tweeted something about a recent vulnerability disclosure, basically saying, why are we still talking about responsible responsible disclosure? Because that apparently, as long ago as 2010, when Microsoft came out and said, we're not doing responsible disclosure anymore, we've got a thing called coordinated disclosure. So that is the preferred term, apparently, now. Mm. Whereas responsible disclosure sort of puts an onus on the discloser to be responsible. Whereas if you're doing coordinated disclosure, you can just coordinate between the party, the one interested party that you left out of that equation is the end users, you know, the people who are paying for the software that has vulnerabilities in it. So a lot of times the discloser, you know, whether they're a researcher or, you know, whatever, whoever they are, they are looking for something out of that act. The software vendor is also looking for something out of that act, which is different. And the funny thing about this whole episode is that when it was just Microsoft and Adobe and Google haggling over whose patch fixes what vulnerability,
yeah.
So we, you know, we had some back and forth with Microsoft's press agency,
yes, the
public relations agency,
yes,
that I had, and then at the end of the day here, but midday in California on the West Coast, Microsoft, one of their execs posted a blog post saying,
Terry Myerson,
yeah, right, hey, you know, look over here, it's Fancy Bear.
Yeah,
which they, you know, they use the Microsoft the name that Microsoft has given that particular APT, whether it's APT 28 or SEDNIT or Fancy Bear, and I've totally blanked on the name that Microsoft has given them, but
with Fancy Bear.
Yeah, but it's the Russians.
I like Fancy Bear.
Yeah, so basically,
it's a catchy name.
What happened was that whereas we were working on this story about vulnerabilities and, you know, what does it mean, and did Adobe's patch actually truly mitigate the vulnerability entirely so that Microsoft didn't feel any urgency to do out of band patching?
Yep.
And there's another piece to that which we can, you know, that's a separate one, the whole whether it was necessary to disclose,
yeah, yeah,
10 days after it was given to Google. Well, Google has this policy, but the thing was that the story changed in 5 minutes.
Yeah, in many different ways it changed.
Well, the big one was Microsoft pointing the finger over at Russia and saying, yeah, this is what's going on here. And all of a sudden, the story got picked up everywhere.
Yeah.
As Microsoft blames Russia for the vulnerability, not Microsoft is pointing fingers at Google for disclosing this thing that they shouldn't have disclosed yet, or that Microsoft thought that they shouldn't have disclosed.
Yeah,
you know, there's disagreements over characterizations of the vulnerability, but ultimately at the end of that little session there, instead of being about the vulnerability and who disclosed it and whether it was proper to do so, it became like, uh-oh, Russia hacking, you know, Fancy Bear, APT, yep. and it shot up on, you know, I don't know if Washington Post covered it, but there were, you know, like all of a sudden there were these mainstream media, hard news, you know, general news,
yeah,
not, you know, we're news, but we cover news, but it's not, you know,
right.
Most of the time the stuff we cover is in
it's for the nerds, for the people that do this stuff.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
It's not for the people watching TV news, local TV news.
Right, exactly. But that the story changed immediately when Microsoft pointed the finger at Russia.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to be clear before we get into sort of the specifics about the dispute with the vulnerabilities. I don't think it's a trivial bit of information. I can understand why Microsoft went ahead and said, we believe that the group Fancy Bear, and with everything that's going on with in this election season with government hacks, I don't think it's a trivial thing to just to say that this is, this is Fancy Bear that's doing this. It's the group that hacked the DNC, and this is bad. If anything, it sort of heightens the stakes, which I'm all for. On the other hand, though, like you said, to the masses, that kind of becomes the story, and it overshadows, it obscures the fact that they have been pushed out a patch for this. And you know, getting into the technical details, I'll just do a quick rundown for it. I mean, this is a Windows kernel flaw, which is it's serious. I mean, you never want to have a kernel flaw. And I guess the best way to describe sort of how the Flash and the Windows flaws work in conjunction, I'll just, you know what, I'm just going to quote Jerome Segura, lead malware intelligence analyst at Malwarebytes, who is quoted in one of our stories, but one of the stories that actually Michael Heller, senior reporter at Search Security, wrote, quote, "The Flash and Windows 0 days are two separate exploits, but they can indeed be chained to successfully infect a user. The attacker would start by targeting the browser, escaping out of a sandbox, and thanks to the Flash exploit, before proceeding with the Windows exploit that enables privilege escalation." And the privilege escalation part is important because, well, this is where we get into sort of the sticky stuff. Now, Microsoft, in Google's public disclosure, they call it, they basically said it's serious because, you know, there's privilege escalation, local privilege escalation in this Windows kernel flaw that can be used as a security sandbox escape. And Microsoft said, you know, it did not agree with Google's characterization of the flaw as being serious, because they felt that with the Adobe patch already being out and mitigating the attack, so that you know, these two flaws couldn't be chained together, well, the risk was significantly less.
Right. So I know the language that they use, that Microsoft, that the Microsoft folks use, were things like it's mischaracterized. It's we don't believe that this is a serious issue based on how the flaw was described. I think
I'll read the exact quote. I got it right here. "We disagree with Google's characterization of the local elevation of privilege as quote-unquote critical and quote-unquote particularly serious, since the attack scenario they describe is fully mitigated by the deployment of the Adobe Flash update released last week. Additionally, our analysis indicates that this specific attack was never effective in the Windows 10 anniversary update." Like, I care. That was me, by the way, editorializing. That was not in the statement. Was never effective in the Windows 10 anniversary update due to security enhancements previously implemented. Okay, end quote.
So, okay, they said the attack scenario they describe is fully mitigated. The attack scenario they described was a chain of these two flaws.
Indeed.
So what they didn't describe was potentially other flaws in other applications, or even in, you know, something else in Adobe, who knows, but
yes,
in Flash. But let's lay off Adobe for a while, as you suggested earlier.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that that this kernel vulnerability, which Google described, could not be theoretically, I don't know, I'm not a security researcher. If I was, I would not be here. I'd be somewhere else, but
you'd have a blog somewhere. You'd be on Twitter. You'd have a catchy handle.
Yeah,
you'd wear a fedora.
I would.
No, I'm just kidding. All the security straw hat researchers. No, not a straw hat.
No,
I didn't see any straw hats at Black Hat. I'll tell you that.
Okay, but the fact remains that here's this vulnerability.
Yes.
That doesn't work as described in a chain of vulnerabilities.
Yes.
But could it maybe work in some other chain? Again, I don't know the definitive answer.
You're not a security researcher.
I'm not the security researcher, but...
It's a good thing we did talk to some security experts and researchers. What did they say? And that follow-up... I'm glad you asked. I'm glad that you asked what these guys thought, because they were nonplussed. They were significantly less than enthused, I guess, by Microsoft's response. Let me find some comments in here. Okay, Willis McDonald, senior threat researcher at Core Security in Roswell, Georgia. Quote, well, he said that the fact that Adobe patched its flaw has nothing to do with mitigating the privilege escalation vulnerability in Windows. Quote, Microsoft was attempting to divert attention to this fact by pointing out that Chrome and Microsoft Edge browsers are not vulnerable. This is because both browsers take advantage of the Win32K syscall mitigation available in Windows 10. However, any user mode application that does not take advantage of the Win32K syscall mitigation is able to make calls with the Win32K.sys and possibly exploit the vulnerability. So there you have it. And he's not the only one. There were other folks here who said, Brian Lang, Vice President of Products and Business Development at Lastline, he said, quote, the attack is not fully mitigated by simply applying the Adobe Flash update. Attackers could very likely have other zero-day vulnerabilities that could allow them to exploit the Windows vulnerability. Now, this is an important point, Peter, because what is the group that Microsoft itself has identified as being the culprit behind the exploit of this vulnerability?
Fancy Bear.
And Fancy Bear is a nation state connected APT group. Advanced, sophisticated. Maybe they have a cache of cyber weapons and cyber exploits, hacking tools, all the fun stuff that guys like shadow brokers drop on people. Do we really think that they don't have other vulnerabilities that they're not exploring to exploit this attack?
I mean,
it depends on who they're going after, which, and we'll get into that in a little.
Right. Thing, well, one of the things that I saw in some of the reading that I did on researching this was that the Fancy Bear APT reportedly, and by somebody who I can't remember who it was, so you know, I'll have to, somebody will have to Google.
You got a head cold, sorry. Right. I feel you.
Okay. So, but the thing, the point was that Fancy Bear tends to rely on chaining vulnerabilities in Flash through Windows because yep. that's what's, you know, that's what they have to work with.
Right.
So, which is not to say that they're not going to work with something else if something is denied to them.
Sure.
If an Adobe patch comes through and denies them access to that particular vulnerability, they're probably going to go back to the storeroom and pull another one off the shelf,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a Flash vulnerability or if it's something in Outlook or who knows what. I don't know. I'm, again, not a security researcher, not a threat actor, so, you know, it's all pure speculation on my part. But yeah, if you're talking about a threat actor, a nation state threat actor, then yes, they have deep resources. So, but letting them know, like Google did, that we've spotted this thing that you're using, that you're actively exploiting, is basically saying, hey, this isn't going to work anymore after Adobe puts out their patch.
Yeah.
And Microsoft, presumably. So you're going to have to find something else. Well, not only does disclosing the vulnerability allow other threat actors who may not be nation states, but who just may be running ransomware exploits, they're going to have access. They're going to theoretically have access to that kernel vulnerability. And at the same time, it also tells the Fancy Bear folks that, you know, you're gonna, this may be denied to you if people don't patch their Adobe.
Yep.
If they do patch their Adobe Flash, if they don't patch Flash, then you're still good.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, it's hard for me as a consumer.
Yeah.
To grok why Google would say this protects our protects the end user by disclosing this vulnerability before it's been patched, especially since Microsoft was planning to patch this one on Tuesday.
So you're on the side of you kind of agree with Microsoft. Like, why did you do this?
Well, you know, it's really it's hard to be on Microsoft's side in any argument, just mm-hmm. because of, you know, some of the way they do things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is not hard to understand the argument that they say, if you disclose this vulnerability before, you know, like 7 days or what was it, 5 days before? No, 7 days before the patch ships out.
Right.
That puts people at risk. Whereas if you wait for a week, especially since Adobe's patch mitigates sure. part of it, and you haven't disclosed what the patch is for Adobe.
Yeah.
I mean, I wrote about Adobe shipping that patch out because it was news. You know, Adobe patching a vulnerability isn't always newsworthy, but this one seemed to be last week when they shipped it on the 26th. We wrote about it on the 20th. You know, we posted an article about it on the 27th.
Right.
About Adobe patching. So it's, you know, you got to wonder how badly was Fancy Bear using this particular attack to prompt Google to disclose it.
And we don't even know if that's who they found to be exploiting. I don't even think they mentioned the specific attacks in that post. It's a very short post that Google
yes, they just said it was being abused.
Yeah, let me take the opposite point of view on this. Because personally, I think that maybe the cold medicine's gone to, you know, made you a little fuzzy. No, I'm joking. No, so I read what Microsoft says here in their statement, in their initial statement, you know, pushing back against Google. And they said, quote, "We believe in coordinated vulnerability disclosure, and yesterday's disclosure by Google could put customers at potential risk." Okay, that's fine. But you can't say that, right? And then also turn around and say, well, we think customers are at risk, but not that much risk. We don't like the way that Google characterized these flaws. We don't think they're that serious. We don't think that this is that important. And we don't think it's that big of a deal anyways, because Adobe already patched it. Now, here's where I disagree with you, not with Microsoft. Well, I disagree with Microsoft too. Google has this information that the exploits are being, or that the flaws are being exploited. They know that Adobe pushed out the patch on the 26th, but let's be honest, how many people really? Well, so you put... But,
I mean, if you have Adobe Flash, don't you have turned on to get the automatic updates?
You are supposed to, but do you think that everyone does?
No.
That's what I'm saying. So,
right.
So, okay. So the patch is out there for Adobe, and it mitigates the attack. It doesn't eliminate it. So knowing that, I totally understand why Google would go public with this and say, okay, we've got one half of the coin here taken care of. That mitigates the attack. And we don't know that everyone has actually updated their Flash player, but maybe, you know, people deserve to know. And yes, I take your point. By opening up and talking about these flaws, you're sort of introducing, you know, so it's not just Fancy Bear that could take advantage of them. Now it's other folks potentially that could use it. And Fancy Bear, we know they're politically motivated, or at least, you know, evidence strongly suggests that it's politically motivated. So you would figure that the number of fish in the pond that are being hit with this attack are probably very small by this group, Fancy Bear.
Right.
You open that up to other groups, that could have a negative effect. I understand that. At the same time, if you already have the one patch out and it mitigates the attack, and you know that this is being exploited for the people that haven't patched, you got to do this. I mean, this is, to me, this is clear a case when a company like Google has to go public and disclose the vulnerability, put some pressure on the vendor to get you know, a fix out there. And I gotta be honest, I don't, Microsoft has made a lot of strides in security over the last 5-10 years, and I don't want to mischaracterize them as being, you know, like they used to be. But man, we don't need another Oracle. We don't need another Apple. We don't need another company out there that thinks they're too good for security and that whines and gripes every time there are flaws out there, or just gives the, you know, the security research community the cold shoulder and just, you know, I don't like this. All you had to do, Microsoft, is say, the attack is mitigated with this Adobe flaw. We're addressing it. We'll have more information soon. You don't need to come out and say, you know, I get the fancy bear part, like I said, but you don't need to come out and say, we disagree. We think it puts customers at risk, but yet we also think that it's overblown. Well, which is it? You can't have both. You got to settle on one. You cannot say, Google is putting our customers at potential risk, but we're not because we haven't patched it. I mean, that to me, that aggravates me. Obviously, I'm very animated right now. It's getting hot in here in Chernobyl. Yeah,
it is.
It's getting hot.
It is getting warm. That could be the cold. But so one of the issues is, for me, I know that there's a lot more pieces to the puzzle than what I have access to, but you know, Microsoft has this infrastructure for updates. I know they've been working on it. You know, it's part of their business. They've been working on it for a long time.
Indeed.
Getting, you know, finding a way to get the updates out.
And doing a better job of it.
They're doing, frankly. I think they're doing great. It's much better than having to, than hearing about it and then having to go to a website and download something and try to update it yourself. It's so much easier to do updates in Windows now as an end user than it was 20 years ago. But what I wonder is, why is there not a channel for pushing out important security updates out of band?
Yeah.
You'd think that they would want to have that in the event of something where they think it's important.
Yep. Instead of waiting till next Tuesday.
Right. Well, okay, so Tuesday is only 4 days away.
I get it. Yeah.
But it was only a week or 8 days away when Google went public with this. And it was only 21st, 10. So it was like, it was 2.5 weeks away from the time that Google discovered the vulnerability in the first place. This was an accelerated timeline because Google said that these people, and I found the name that Microsoft gave them, which threw me off because when I first saw this blog post and I said, oh, they're blaming Strontium. Strontium,
yeah,
which is Microsoft. What makes it hard for me is that they say Strontium, and I draw a blank because I haven't been reading all of Microsoft's research reports, where they have a really interesting and useful report about the APT that they refer to as Strontium, and that's also referred to as APT 28, Sophocy.
Just pick a name.
Fancy Bear. Well, everybody's got their different names, and the thing is that, you know, are they the exact same groups? We think they are.
That's next week's episode.
It's every week's episode.
That's true.
but yeah. So I saw that they didn't say Strontium, also known as.
Sure.
They said Strontium, and it was the end of the day, and I was trying to wrap the story up. So I went home, and then Mike came in and helped.
Fancy Bear.
He connected some of the dots for us, and that worked out. But that's the thing. I saw the blog post from Microsoft, finished the article, submitted it for editing, and then went home because I had to go the next day for
You had the Rapid 7 stuff.
The Rapid 7, which was great. It was a great day. Mm. A lot of good people there, and hopefully we'll have a Q&A from Todd Beardsley and Rebecca Brown from Rapid 7. Coming up real soon, but the fact is that Microsoft could have made this clearer. They could have made it less, you know. But I don't understand what their motivation to do that was, because it makes them. I don't, it makes them look bad on a couple different levels.
I don't know.
But it does,
and it's a concern. And oh, by the way, you mentioned Yvonne Arce earlier. Yvonne Arce is actually, this goes back to the ASN.1 compiler flaw.
Right.
Yvonne is actually with Core Security in Boston. It was Dr. Manuel Sadowski, security researcher out of Buenos Aires, also Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Right.
So not Chile.
Yes, but Yvonne was the one who did the tweet.
Yeah. But they were both mentioned in that story, and they both talked about... Yeah.
Yes.
So good callback there. But yeah, I mean, it is troubling, and just to wrap up here, so you know you don't collapse under the weight of your illness. There, you're laughing, but
you're fine. Yeah, I'll go home and sleep for 12 hours.
There you go.
And then I'll be great tomorrow.
No, I think that when you know one or two of these types of things, these flaps happening over you know security disclosures, not the timing, but of the characterizations. I mean, I guess the timing too. You know, when a zero day is disclosed one or two times, I can see that there's always going to be some, you know, some details that people disagree over. But for this to sort of become a common thing, especially with vendors as big as, I mean, this happened with Tavis Ormandy a couple months ago, Google Project Zero and Symantec disagreed with the, you know, they said it was this. They characterized the flaw as doing one thing, and Ormandy said, no, this is remote code execution. And it's like when you have vendors, especially a vendor as big as Microsoft or a vendor as big as Symantec that does security, and we're haggling over things like this, and we can't come to a common, definitive sort of result in over these vulnerabilities. I think that's a problem, and that concerns me. And I don't like seeing when, you know, a vendor comes out and says, no, it's not that bad. And the security community, at least everyone that we've talked to, says, no, it is that bad. And you need to patch it. And you need to take care of it and not sort of obfuscate and, you know, introduce this sort of, you know, sideshow about Russia. It needs to be patched. It's a serious flaw in the Windows kernel. And, you know, I hope that, like I said, Microsoft's done a lot of good in security and they've made a lot of progress. I hope this is just a bump in the road. And I hope we don't see more of this type of stuff from technology vendors, software makers that get hit with these zero-day disclosures coming back and saying, oh, this? You know, shrug. It's no big deal.
Don't worry about it.
Other vendor with a related flaw already patched their stuff, so we're good. We're good on our side. And our patch will be coming in 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what would have been more reassuring is if Microsoft had said what, and I guess neither of us have dug up the actual tweet. I think it was a tweet, but the point is that if Fancy Bear is exploiting a vulnerability actively, they're probably targeting who?
Political folks, Democrats.
Right. I mean,
government agencies,
government people that should know that they're being targeted. Are they targeting me?
No.
Are they targeting?
Not.
Probably not. Are they targeting you?
Yeah. No.
No. Are they targeting your kids or
no,
my kids
not.
Or your mother-in-law or you know my father-in-law? No, no, they're not. So the interesting thing was that the tweeter who tweeted this thing is basically said, look, the key to all this is if Fancy Bear is targeting a low level, and if I remember correctly, the characterization of the attack of the campaign was that it was not a huge campaign.
No,
it was spear phishing. So they were spear phishing. So they weren't even going after the guy who works as an intern in the White House annex. They were going after, you know, maybe John Podesta or, you know, someone at a higher level. So people that should be aware of it, maybe there's some other channel that they can be notified to be careful. Whereas instead, there's this whole big blow up. I mean, it can't, if Microsoft had come out and said, you know, there is this thing, it's being actively exploited, but chances are you're not targeted. So just cool your jets. Yeah. Be a little more careful about what you click on, or you know, and wait until Tuesday when the patch is rolled.
Right.
And then you'll be good. That would have been a lot more reassuring. That would have been, you know, not dragging us all through this,
Russia, Red Scare, cyber attacks.
Catastrophization of cyber attacks. It's like, it's not a, what was that thing from over the winter? Cyber pathogens.
Oh, yeah.
Dormant cyber
pathogens. We don't need any cyber pathogen scares or any of that stuff.
Yeah, we can, let's not freak everybody out. Let's get everybody's...
I agree.
You know, let's relax, take a breath.
Yeah, let's cool the engines. So I think that covers it for this week's episode, the discussion of the zero days controversy, 0 days plural. And we'll see where it goes from here. But Peter, thank you for joining me. I know you're not feeling 100%, but thank you.
95% is there, just, you go. I sound bad, but yeah, I feel good.
You sound worse than you look. and as usual, I'm Rob Wright with Search Security. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Risk and Repeat podcast, and we will see you next time.